This is Audible.
Throne of Truth. The Truth and Lies Duet. Written by Pepper Winters. Narrated by Kylie Stewart and Eric Rolon.
Prologue. Pen. Lies. They have a life of their own. They multiply, divide, and conquer. Not just the listener, but the liar too. They infiltrate the truth. They twist words until false is truer than reality. I should know. I'd become a master at them. For a while, lies had been my saving grace. They kept me warm on the coldest nights and kept me sheltered when only darkness remained. But now, I have wealth and family, and my lies aren't giving me power anymore. They're stripping me of it. Stripping me of her. She ran away from me. She ran before I could tell her the truth. It didn't matter the truth wasn't what she wanted to hear. It didn't matter I had so many confessions and only the guts to reveal a few. She ran, and then she vanished.
Chapter 1. L.
Get out of the fucking car, L.
I cocked my chin, glowering out the window. Get out of my life, Greg. The slur scalded my tongue, but I didn't have the balls to say it. My cheeks still hurt. Fear still sliced my insides. The view outside the car was foreign and unwanted. I was kidnapped, hurt, and pissed off. I hate you, Greg. I'll make you pay, Greg. My lips pulled into a sneer of contempt. You won't win, Greg.
L.
He thumped the roof of his graphite Porsche for the third time. The rattle shook the interior, making me flinch. I'd done well for most of the journey. He'd prattled on while miles slowly crept between me and my home. I'd remained stoic and deathly silent. I didn't wince when he shouted for a response, and didn't cower when he raised his hand in threat. I refused to let him affect me, even though I couldn't ignore my body's discomfort anymore. My bound hands were numb from the twine around my wrists. My shoulders screamed for mercy, and my butt was flat from the long drive. For 5 hours, I tried to come up with a plan to either talk Greg out of whatever manic idea he'd concocted, or figure out a way to incapacitate him. My mind kept me entertained with images of knocking him out, leaving him tied to a tree, and stealing his car. I'd drive myself back to New York. It didn't matter I hadn't driven since I got my license. All David's fault for driving me everywhere. It didn't matter I barely knew how to operate a standard rather than an automatic gear shift. And it definitely didn't matter. I had no idea how to knock out a full-grown male with my hands tied behind my back. I would do whatever it took to get free from this lunatic who I'd been raised with, starting with refusing to cooperate.
L.
Greg growled, thumping the car one last time before ducking to shove his face into mine. The night sky bled with shadows and gloomy clouds. Not one star, no sliver of moon. It was as if we existed in a dead end, while the roads of the world were back at a U-turn somewhere.
I won't ask again.
I forced every inch of authority I could into my glare. I don't want to be here, Greg. Take me home. He laughed, rolling his eyes.
Too fucking bad. We're here. Now get.
I didn't let him undermine me. I didn't let him see my fear or frustration. I'm not getting out of the car because you're driving me home. Right now.
Oh, I am I?
He laughed harder, this time with a sinister echo.
That's what you think.
He undid my seatbelt and placed his fingers on my thigh.
I'm going to count to 5.
He squeezed. Hard.
I suggest you get out before I hit 5.
My heart coughed. Greg dropped all pretenses and ripped off his mask. He was done masquerading as the boring son of my father's best friend and my employee. Out here, alone, he showed who he truly was. And I hated him. I hated him more than I feared him. But the longer he squeezed my thigh, the stronger my fear grew. I trembled with disobedience, cursing him, wishing the ground would grow teeth and chew him alive.
One.
He smiled, his fingers climbing up my leg toward my core. I gritted my teeth. I didn't let him see how much my skin crawled to have his touch so close to where I vehemently didn't want him.
Two.
He crept the final distance, cupping me roughly with a harsh glint in his eyes. I shivered as he let me go as quickly as he'd grabbed me. His touch slithered upward, stroking my belly, my hip, my waist.
Three.
I shifted despite myself. My legs bunched to obey, to climb out on my own willpower, to avoid whatever nastiness he had planned. But he wedged himself in the door, not giving me any room to exit. He knew that. He nodded slyly, knowing I'd figured out that he'd blocked me, that I didn't have a choice in what would happen next.
Four.
His touch switched from my waist to my breast, tweaking a nipple before climbing the rest of the way to my shoulder. His fingers dug into me like barbed wire, sharp and steely, ready to rip me apart. I braced for pain. I sniffed in retaliation. Not that it did any good.
Five.
The grasp he had on my shoulder became a throbbing anchor, digging his fingernails into my flesh. He yanked with all his energy. With nothing holding me in the car, I toppled sideways. I had no way to fight or stop my sideways motion. I fell out, landing painfully on my shoulder with my legs still in the Porsche and my arms tied behind my back. Sharp gravel dug into my cheek. Wind whooshed from my lungs. With my face wedged against the ground, I had a perfect view of Greg's black loafers as he squatted over me.
Well, that's one success. You're out of the car.
He nudged me with his toe.
Now get up.
I squirmed, wincing as every joint and ligament squealed in pain. My spine hated the way my legs pretzled above, while my shoulder slammed dunked into the earth. Terror sprouted like weeds in my veins as Greg took a step back. I tensed for a kick or reprimand, but he placed his hands on his hips, waiting. If I'd climbed out like he'd asked 10 minutes ago, I could have avoided the shrapnel to my cheek and the new contusions to my body. You are stupid, El. Was it wise to refuse everything out of principle or obey to save my strength? I knew the answer even though I hated it. Doing my best to stifle my moan, I slowly unhooked my ankles from the Porsche and wiggled forward to give my legs room to drop down. Slowly, achingly, I figured out how to slide sideways and push off the ground with my hands behind my back, granting just enough leverage to sit upright. It took a while, but the moment I sat up, Greg clapped condescendingly.
Finally, you listened to the boss.
I spat out a mouthful of acrid dust. You're not my boss.
Wrong, Al. I am. You've been in charge for far too fucking long. Things are gonna be different now.
I clamped my lips together. I wouldn't antagonize him further. He was delusional. There was nothing I could say to a crazy person. Let him think he was my commander. I'd correct him when he was in jail. We held a staring war like children until I cocked my chin and ignored him. He didn't speak as I navigated my sore body into movement. It took a few minutes to figure out how to shuffle my legs beneath me and push off on numb tingling feet to trade driveway for standing, but I managed. The second I succeeded, Greg captured my elbow.
About time you got up.
Pulling me toward a large cabin resting on the boundary of a dense forest, he added,
Wasting my time, Al. Gonna pay for that.
You could have helped me. Better yet, you could take me home. He chuckled.
Funny girl.
The cabin reeked of disappearing CEOs and illegal activity. In any other situation, the cute windows with yellow and brown trim would have made any guest feel welcome. In this situation, when I'd been stolen against my will, it was a coffin I had no desire to enter. Every inch of me did not, with a thousand did nots, want to go into that place. But I was tired, hungry, and emotionally wrung dry. My head still throbbed from his punch at my apartment, and my heart still panged for the lies Penn had told. The glittery blue of my sapphire star dangled in my mind, destroying Penn's fibs over and over again. Where had that necklace come from? Was it true Penn was baseball cap or Adidas? Regardless of the truth, I knew one thing for sure. All men are assholes. And unless my father or David could figure out where Greg had taken me, I was on my own. I glanced out of the corner of my eye at Greg and his pompous face. Everything about him irritated me to the point of sheer rage. He's a moron. A moron who can kill me with no one here to stop him. Despite running from Penn and cursing him forever, I wouldn't be opposed to him hunting and freeing me. He was the lesser of the two evils tonight. Climbing the porch steps, our footsteps echoed on a stained wooden deck, weathered with a stylish decor. Greg let me go, fumbling in his pockets for a key. I didn't run off or try to bolt into the forest. My hands were still tied, and I had no idea where I was. I'd never been good at hikes in school, and would rather deal with Greg than a bear in the wilderness while incapacitated. I kept my voice icy. Where are we? Greg grinned as he slotted a key into the antique-looking lock.
My father's cabin.
I vaguely remembered Steve bragging about buying a vacation place before I took over Belle L. He and Dad had gone away for a weekend to do manly things. I didn't ask what those manly things had entailed. It's true. He is a moron. I blinked, forcing myself not to roll my eyes at Greg's stupidity. He'd kidnapped me and taken me to a location that his father knew about. I wanted to thank the non-existent stars. Bless him for his small brain. It would only be a matter of time before the cavalry came for me. I kept my conclusions to myself, nodding respectfully as Greg opened the door and held it wide for me to enter. He followed, leaving me standing in the foyer as he turned on lights to reveal wooden walls, cathedral ceilings, and timber flooring. It wasn't called a log cabin for nothing. Every single inch, including the kitchen counter, was made out of sacrificed trees. It was wood overload with a plaid couch, rustic dining room table, and a window seat that could fit 10 children, more inclined to read than explore the sinister forest, waving its shadowy branches by the window. The place was big, with hallways leading off to bedrooms, and a second lounge down a few steps with a giant log fireplace. Greg shrugged off his blazer, throwing it haphazardly on the back of the couch. He smiled.
Come here.
I wanted to kick him in the balls, but slowly, I inched closer. Once I was standing in front of him, he spun his finger in the air.
Turn around.
I swallowed a retort and did as he asked. Instantly, my spine crawled. I didn't like having him behind me, unable to see. His fingers latched around my wrists. I tensed, then relaxed a little as the tight twine slowly loosened, sliding off one wrist altogether. I looked over my shoulder, waiting to be freed completely, but he tied a new knot around one wrist, tugging it until I turned back around to face him. His teeth flashed in the golden light bulbs.
Can't have you running now, can we?
I glowered at the leash he'd formed, binding my arm into his control, tethering me to him while giving my other arm the relief of coming forward and working out the kinks in my shoulder. I won't run. I itched with the need to undo the knots imprisoning me.
Don't take it personally, but I don't believe you.
Pulling me forward, he grinned as my body pressed up against his, my arm forced around his waist with the aid of the rope. Lowering his head, he nuzzled my neck. I shuddered with repulsion.
Now that I've got you, I'm not letting you go, Al.
Doing my best to breathe slow and steady, rather than give in to the overwhelming desire to scream. I said, "You don't have me, Greg. You'll never have me."
"Wow, I don't see anyone else here claiming you."
He kissed my cheek.
"You're mine, and you're not going anywhere."
"I don't need someone to claim me. I claim me." The CEO in me came out. I looked down my nose with arrogant authority. "What do you hope to achieve here, Greg? You can't keep me prisoner for long. They'll find me. Whatever sick and twisted idea you have of marrying me to gain access to Bel-El is riddled with flaws. Even married to me, I'd never give you part ownership of my company, and no judge would ever grant you my property if I said you forced me." My mouth ran away with things I'd promised myself I wouldn't say. "And what about our fathers? Do you honestly think they'll let you get away with this? My dad will either have you murdered in your sleep or thrown in jail, and your dad will have to live with the shame of what you've done." My free hand swooped up. I tapped him in the temple as if he were a simpleton and needed a good slap to wake up. "Think this through, Greg. Release me now and I won't press charges. I'll tell our fathers to let it go. I'll inform everyone that you had to get whatever jealousy you felt about Penn out of your system, and then everything can go back to normal." His face didn't change from the cordial playboy I knew and tolerated. His dark blonde hair cascaded over one eye, giving the illusion he was easy to play and manipulate.
"Normal, huh?"
I nodded, with no repercussions. "Think about it." I tugged my wrist, jiggling his hand where he held the other end of the rope. "Release me, take me home, and we'll forget about all of this." He pursed his lips as if contemplating my proposal. Then a dark veil fell over his eyes.
"Too bad for you. I don't like normal."
Stomping forward, he jerked me through the kitchen and out the back door. Stumbling down the steps toward the forest edge, I swallowed my fear as his stride headed straight toward the looming forest. What the? Where is he taking me? The cabin wasn't wanted, but it was a damn sight better than traipsing through a jungle late at night. Greg?
Shut up, Noelle. You've had your little speech. Now shut the fuck up.
He yanked a small flashlight from his pocket and turned on the ray of illumination as we crunched through bracken, entering the world of looming leafy giants.
You think you have me all figured out, huh? Bet you thought I was a fucking moron for bringing you to my dad's cabin.
He laughed coldly.
Bet David is already on his way here. Too bad for him.
He laughed harder as he broke into a jog, dragging me behind him.
I'm not a fuckwad, El. I've been planning this for months.
Beelining toward an old shed tucked up against ancient trees, he skidded to a stop. Looking back with victorious smugness, he wrenched the unlocked padlock off the rickety doors and slithered the chain from around the wooden handles. The rope leash lashed tight around my wrist, and each time he moved, giving me no slack to run. Cracking open the doors, he pulled me through and shone the flashlight onto the one thing I didn't want to see. Another car. Clean and new, something that would guarantee to work and not break down in exhaustion. A black Dodge Charger. Pulling me around to the passenger entry, he opened the door and shoved me inside.
We're only halfway there, Al. This was a decoy. The real destination is where no one will guess. A place only I know. A place where we'll finally get to know each other.
My heart switched from pissed off to manic. Greg slammed the door in my face, locking me inside. Oh God, what should I do? Jogging around to the driver's side, he hopped in as if we were honeymooners about to explore. Inserting a key into the ignition, the car woke up with a loud grumbling growl. He placed his hand on my knee.
A place where we'll get to know each other very well.
Throwing the car into gear, he shot forward and rammed the shed doors wide, not caring about marking the vehicle or ruining his father's retreat. We fishtailed on the mulchy ground as the engine roared. He stomped on the accelerator and drove rocket ship style through the small trail, past leering trees, over broken branches, and exploded onto a dirt track, leaving all phones, cars, and well-known cabins behind. Penn wouldn't find me. Dad and David wouldn't find me. I was truly on my own.
Chapter 2. Pen. I thought the night couldn't get any worse. I was wrong. Served me right, seeing as my entire life I'd had the shittiest luck of anyone. If I took a risk, it backfired. If I spied an opportunity, it was a con. If I saw hope, it was always false. So why I thought tonight couldn't get any worse after Elle ran from the charity function, didn't answer her phone, and refused to come to the door when I drove over to her place, I didn't know. This was my normal. I had to get used to it instead of being constantly surprised. I'd returned home confused and fucked off with the entire world. I'd entered my building and climbed the steps to the renovated unit that I'd keep as my own while doing up the rest of the apartments for people transitioning from an existence on the streets back into the rat race we called life. I had great plans for this place. The chipped walls and leaky pipes didn't faze me. I had the funds to invest in its foundation and decor, and I couldn't fucking wait until the building crew had finished their current project in Lower Manhattan and could work exclusively on mine. My thoughts bounced between my past and Elle as I stalked into the kitchen and grabbed a glass of vodka on the rocks. Carrying my drink to my bedroom, I didn't bother to undress. I merely kicked off my shoes, shrugged out of the silver blazer, and unbuckled my belt. The rest, a white shirt, silver tie, and metallic slacks remained on as I climbed onto the bed, sipped a sharp mouthful of liquor, and pulled the bag containing Elle's lingerie and sex toys from our first night together toward me. I couldn't fucking wait to use the toys on her. But now, she'd run away. She'd run before I could tell her, then refuse to have anything to do with me. Her door remained closed, her phone unanswered. If I was honest, the anvil wedged where my heart should be made me ache. But I'd known we couldn't have a future. I'd banked on it. I'd hunted her knowing full well I would take what I wanted and then leave. But that was before the chocolate mousse and the limo and the gala. Each time I saw her, it got harder and harder to keep my emotions from spilling. The fake engagement, the bullshit, all of it was gone, just like Elle. Fuck. Exhaustion from all the years I'd been planning this finally caught up with me. I swigged the rest of my drink before my eyes could close. I would rest tonight. Tomorrow, I would apologize, accept her verbal lashing, and then walk out of her life for good. The plan wasn't a good one, but having it helped me calm my messy thoughts. I reclined against my pillows and vanished into sleep, just as Elle had vanished from my life for the second time. Sleep began quickly and ended suddenly. Just like I should have expected more shitty things to happen, I should have seen this coming. But I hadn't because I was a fucking idiot. I woke to a fist in my jaw, jarring me from chaotic dreams into manic reality. Another fist landed on my solar plexus, stealing my oxygen, making me gasp. Another fist to my jaw, followed by a double jab to my stomach. What the fuck? Two men, four pummels, one me. I curled up on the mattress, protecting my head while they fucking beat me. Hip, chest, ribs, temple. Wash and repeat. I lost count how many blows they delivered, or how many aches flared into being from new injuries and old. My past meant I'd taken a beating a few times, while others I'd done the nasty work. Bones never forgot, though. They heated some nights in remembrance. They ached on others in punishment. I was a walking shambles of bones and lies, and these cunts had let themselves into my place to attack me while I was unconscious. There was no way to retaliate without being knocked out, so I waited, grunting with agony as they struck again and again. Finally, when I didn't move or threaten to kill them, the bastards stopped their rain of pain, whispering to each other as I lay in my stupid little ball. Spying an opportunity to fight back, I pushed aside the blazing discomfort and launched upright. I always could move fast. they didn't see it coming. I landed an uppercut on one asshole's jaw and a sidekick to the other dickhead in the groin. You fucking come into my place and hurt me? They stumbled backward, holding body parts. I half leapt, half collapsed off my bed, fists raised. Who the fuck are you, and what are you doing in my apartment? The bigger guy of the two cracked his neck, rearranging his beefy body. He swiped at his lower lip where his teeth had sliced him from my uppercut. You'll pay for that. He launched himself at me. I met him head on, fists to fists, kicks to kicks, but they'd already stripped my strength, and there were two of them. His punches landed too often, wilting away my power. Hey, fucka, the small guy said with a baklava over his face. Lie down or we'll knock you out. The larger grunted something I couldn't hear, his face covered with acne scars and a chin strap. He decked me hard, ringing my skull with church bells, swiping my balance until the room spun. I wobbled backward against the mattress. I tried to blink it away, to keep fighting, but a solid punch to my chest sent me soaring into horizontal. The smaller guy leapt on top of me, his knees pinning my chest to the bed. Gonna stay down? I kicked, but the big thug grabbed my legs. I wouldn't if I were you. I glowered. Get the hell off me. Say the magic words. No fucking way was I being polite to these bastards. What do you want? I spat. Money? Too fucking bad. I don't have any here. Oh, we're not here to steal from you. The big guy chuckled. He motioned for his minion to get off my chest, then planted a meaty hand on the same place he'd punched just a few seconds ago. My ribs screamed as he pressed heavily, activating bruises. Now that we have your attention, I'll give you the message. What message? He tapped my cheek in warning. Ah, no talking back, got it? He glanced at his buddy, rolling his eyes. They never learn. I bit my tongue with all the hate I wanted to spew. They broke into my place, beat me up, then had the motherfucking audacity to roll their eyes at me as if I were the idiot? The second they left, I'd have them arrested, then ask Larry to ensure they never left the penitentiary system. Assholes. Nope, the baklava dude laughed. I can hurt him more if you want. Nah. The orders were to rough him up, not hospitalize him. The brute climbed off me, brandishing his fist in my face. You have a message. From who? Not gonna say who, he smirked. Message is to stay away from her. She's mine. She left you to marry me, so fuck off and screw some other blonde. He cracked his knuckles. Got it? Oh, hell yes, I got it. That bastard, Greg Hobson, the guy I'd hated from the moment I first met him, and not just because he was the competition. I despised the way he watched Al. It bordered on obsessive. He hired you to scare me off. I laughed, hacking up a mouthful of crimson spit. He's fucking delusional. Don't care what he is. Those are the terms. I pressed my bloody nose, checking for a break. My eyes watered. She'll never agree to be with him. He'd lost before I took her. The big goon crossed his arms. Don't care about the fine print. We've done our job and delivered the message. My mind raced, boycotting the image of Elle ever agreeing to be with Greg. She wouldn't. She couldn't. Unless... Shit. I stood up. The room swam. My head pounded. What if Greg hurt her? What if that was why she hadn't answered the door or picked up the damn phone? Ow. Shooting forward, I dodged the guys as they tried to hit me again. Hey! They gave chase, but even bleeding and beaten, I had a lifetime of running on my side. Years of sprinting to save my skin, decades of avoiding death. I didn't look back. Bolting from the bedroom, I skidded into the living room and slammed into the sideboard where I'd tossed my car keys. My bare feet slapped on the hard wood, my trousers loose from no belt, but thank Christ I never undressed. What I was about to do would have been severely inconvenient while naked. My fingers hooked over the keychain as I propelled myself forward, ducked under a swinging fist, and bowled out the door before they could catch me. I was gone before they managed to huff down the second flight of stairs.
Chapter 3. L. From one cabin to another. The decor and building materials were the same. Pine everywhere. But this was smaller, with a cozy living room, tiny kitchen, and narrow hallway to the bedrooms. However, judging by the car headlights that glinted off a body of water as we pulled down a long drive and stopped outside the quaint dwelling, we were now on a lake rather than buried in a forest. The clock over the higgledy-piggledy stone fireplace said we'd been here for an hour, a full hour since Greg tossed me onto the red and navy plaid couch, grabbed a bottle of gin from the fridge, and made us both a cocktail. I'd accepted it, and actually drank the sour liquid, doing my best to relax and let the liquor take away my fear, so I could concentrate on the best way to get free. My attention refused to leave the clock. 4 a.m., yet my eyes were wide and brain zapping with awareness, rather than scratchy with sleep. We'd been traveling for hours. It felt like days since I'd seen Penn or Larry or Stewie. Months since I'd heard Dad or stroked Sage's soft fur. Too damn long being Greg's little captive. Greg groaned as he reclined on the single seat next to the couch, the twine from my wrist dangling over the arms of the chairs, forever joining me to him.
God, it's good to sit down.
You've been sitting while driving. He sipped his cocktail.
Driving is tiring.
And kidnapping is wrong.
Who said anything about kidnapping?
He smirked, bringing the glass to his lips again.
Last time I checked, you weren't a kid anymore.
His gaze dragged up and down my body.
In fact, you're very grown up.
I fought the desire to slap him. My hands curled around my drink. We stared for the longest minute, full of war and battle for authority. Breaking the contest, I threw back the rest of the gin and planted the glass loudly on the wooden coffee table. I need to go to the bathroom.
So demanding.
He stood, waiting for me to pull my aching body into standing.
But I can't have you being uncomfortable now, can I?
Just being in your company makes me uncomfortable. His forehead furrowed.
Careful, Elle. That tongue of yours is going to get you into trouble.
Yanking on the rope, he marched forward, dragging me with him. He escorted me, for a lack of better kidnapping word, down the hallway to a single bathroom with a shower over the bath, an autumn leaf-decorated shower curtain, and shell basin that had seen a few decades too many. He sidestepped, letting me overtake him.
Don't try anything.
Shoving me toward the toilet, he grinned and waved the string, pulling it with him.
I'll be right outside.
With his threat lingering, he shut the door. If this had been a ploy to climb out the window or find a weapon in the medicine cabinet, the leash in my bladder would have made it impossible. The twine barely gave me enough room to fumble with my dress and back up onto the toilet to do my business. My arms remained speared in front of me, doing my best to keep the rope from cutting off my circulation. Once done, I washed my face in the basin. With droplets raining down my forehead, I glared at the whiteness of my cheeks from anxiety, the purple of my temple from his punch, and the redness in my left eye from his smack. My blonde hair mimicked a mini tornado with out-of-control curls, and my makeup had smeared beneath both eyes, making me look like a haggard, aging rock star. I hated the reflection. Turning away, I sucked in a deep breath, preparing to tolerate him again, but I paused, eyeing the mirror. I can't go, not without checking. Pulling open the medicine cabinet, I tried not to give in to the despondency of finding nothing of use. No toenail clippers, no scissors, not even a Q-tip or floss. The cupboard was bare, just like the water-swelled drawers beneath the sink. Not one piece of human mess that I could use to saw at the rope or puncture Greg's jugular. He smirked as I stepped into the corridor.
All done?
I didn't reply. He marched forward, tugging on the string. He didn't guide me back to the living room.
I think we've done enough for the night. I'm fucking wiped.
So he's taking me to bed. This is it. This was where my one-man experience became an unwanted two. At least he won't steal my virginity. How would it feel to be taken against my control? Would I maintain my calm annoyance or break into pleading tears? I don't want to find out. He carted me into a bedroom and turned on the bulb that hung in a sad tasseled shade above the queen-sized bed with a patchwork quilt, ancient wooden side tables, and wrought iron bedside lights. My skin crawled at the thought of sharing that mattress with him.
Here, let me help you.
His hands landed on my shoulders, spinning me around to undo the invisible zip of my silver dress. No, wait. I darted forward, but he jerked the tiny zipper and yanked at the heavy satin on my shoulders.
I've waited long enough.
He tore the gorgeous garment off me, pushing it over my hips until gravity puddled it to the floor. Turning me around, he groaned. The slinky silver and white lingerie I wore had been for Penn's benefit, not his. Penn, the man who lied to me about everything. The man who didn't deserve me, just like Greg didn't deserve me. I clamped my free arm over my breasts, hating that so much of me was exposed. I loathed the way his eyes latched onto my skin, how his hand came up to hover over my breast as if fighting his desire to touch me. His eyes met mine as he licked his lips.
I was going to make us official tonight, but I've waited so fucking long to have you, Al. I've become a bit of a sadist.
He leaned in, brushing his mouth over my bruised cheekbone from the driveway gravel.
I'm so hard for you, but the anticipation of what I'm going to do to you is almost as good as doing it.
Letting me go, he unbuttoned his shirt and tossed it to the floor, followed by his shoes and socks and jeans.
For the next few hours, we'll rest, and then we'll have some fun.
He wasn't lying that he wanted me. His cock stood proud in white boxers, mimicking a totem pole and flagstaff. I tore my eyes away in disgust. He chuckled under his breath.
Time to sleep, Al. Tomorrow is a new day, and we have a shitload of things to do.
Pulling the twine around my wrist, he guided me to the bed and pulled back the sheets.
Get in.
My throat swelled with tears. The scream inside wanted to erupt and destroy, to summon help even though Greg had successfully laid a red herring and driven in a car I'd never seen before to a cabin he'd never mentioned. We'd cut through forest and roads and small townships. We were well and truly gone. No one would come if I cried for help. No one could save me but me. When I didn't move, he pushed me onto the mattress. I fell forward, flopping angrily onto my side and curling my legs up to hide as much of my lingerie-clad body as possible. Greg stared down like a doting lover, running his finger over my jawline, tucking in a curl.
I can't believe we're here, together.
I arched away from his touch, trying to kill him with my stare. We're not together. I don't want this. You're forcing me. Don't ever forget that I don't want you. I never have, and I never will. He stiffened.
You'll take that back. You'll see.
Wrong. It will only become more and more real the longer you keep me. I liked you before, Greg. I thought you were a nice friend. But now... now I hate you. Clenching his jaw, he swiped the comforter from beneath my legs, making me roll a little.
Your lies are almost as bad as his were.
The painful barb wriggled inside me as he gently placed a linen over me. His footsteps fell heavy on the floorboards as he turned out the light and climbed into bed. I remained stiff and unyielding, but he spooned me, gathering me tight in his arms. His erection prodded my ass, making me sick. The memories of sleeping with Penn and the chemistry between us tried to replace my current situation. But even that wasn't comforting. Penn had destroyed what I'd felt for him by being so terribly linked to my past. He'd proven I couldn't trust anyone. Only my cat. Thank goodness Dad had taken Sage home tonight. Otherwise, she'd be unfed and unloved. God, Dad will panic when I don't show for work tomorrow. Fear about his heart pushed through me, ignoring my situation, tearing me into pieces about what this would do to him. I swallowed my loathing, whispering in the dark. Greg? He snuggled closer, his hips jamming forward.
Yes, baby?
I shivered. I'm not your baby.
You are now.
I wouldn't let him distract me with an argument I couldn't win. I need to call my father. You know he has heart issues. He needs to know I'm okay. His nose tickled the back of my neck.
He'll survive.
I tried to wriggle away, but his arms looped tighter. The damn rope around my wrist kept me pinned. He'll panic.
Not my problem.
I shoved backward, rocking the bed. It is your problem, and I'll tell you why. If he dies because of the stress of what you've done, I'll never stop trying to kill you. You have my undying promise that I will. He slapped a hand over my mouth, dragging my head backward until my skull wedged against his chin.
Hush, I'm trying to sleep.
His cock thrust against my ass.
If you're a good girl, I might let you call him tomorrow, if you agree to our agreement.
I tensed. No way in hell would I willingly sleep with him, but if he held my father's health as bribery, I would do what he wanted. I'd obey because I could never live with myself if Dad had another heart attack. I hate you, Greg. He kissed my cheek.
Now no more talking.
Wrapping a string from my wrist around his fingers, he stroked my hair with a threat disguised as tenderness.
Good night, Al. Tomorrow is going to be so much fun.
Chapter 4. Pen.
She's gone, Larry. I fought every instinct to crush my phone with furious fingers. My heart, my blood, my motherfucking breath raced with adrenaline from bolting from my place to Elle's and grabbing the security guard with the threat of a lawsuit if he didn't let me into her apartment to make sure she was safe in bed and not taken as I feared. He'd done what I asked. Her bed was empty. And now I stood in her kitchen where red wine stained the floor, her phone and silver bag from the party, the same bag I'd shoved off the limo seat to pull her into my lap, sat sadly on the counter. A drawer hung open, the pantry unclosed. Signs of an evident struggle made me fucking wild with rage and worry. I'll fucking kill him. He'd taken her. He'd hurt her. And I hadn't been there for her. She'd run home because of me. She'd had to put up with that bastard for years because of me. I have to fix this. Larry cleared sleep from his throat, slipping into the authority figure I knew and respected.
Gone? Who's gone?
Elle, I snapped. That idiot she works with has taken her. Larry didn't ask how I knew or if I was sure. He'd never been suspicious of me because I only ever told him the truth. He was the exception to my rule, mainly because he'd trusted me before I gave him reason to. After hearing my tale when we first met, I'd expected him to scoff and roll his eyes like all the others. But for the first time, someone believed me. He'd stayed by my side and done what he'd promised. He gave me a second chance when no one else would. His voice lost its haze.
What are the details?
Greg came in and abducted her, then sent his fucking goonies after me to scare me off.
Time frame?
Who the fuck knows? I paced the kitchen, ignoring the security guard who'd let me in and who was on his phone to the police. Could have been the same time the assholes came to ensure I had bad dreams, or could have been the moment she left the gala.
Have you called her father yet?
No. Rustling happened in the background, as Larry no doubt clambered from bed. Waking him when he needed his rest was not a good thing, but I couldn't do this on my own. I had tried to navigate life without leaning on anyone, and look where that got me.
The day Larry found me was the day I learned how to share and let good things happen to me, and not just the bad.
Hang up and call her father. Tell the police, get all the information you can, then come here. We'll go after him together.
No, we won't.
Okay.
I cut the call before I could tell him that I'd get Greg's whereabouts, but I wouldn't take him as reinforcements. His health had only just improved. I wouldn't risk him as well as Elle. I'd go after her on my own. I'd chase her for my own selfish reasons. I hadn't cared about her mental state when she found out who I was. Most of the time, I'd convinced myself that I would walk away before it got to that stage. Shit, it had already gone on too long. I tried to end it, but each time she revealed a little more of herself, gave a little more, and fucking stole everything of mine in the goddamn process. And now I'd get her back, even if it was stupid to go alone. I'd always done things the hard way. I left the security guard to welcome the tardy police and stalked into her bedroom to call the brownstone where Elle used to live. I knew the number by heart, just like I knew what window was hers, what her favorite food was, blueberry pancakes, how many times she'd snuggled with that damn cat, over 600 since I started watching, and how hard she worked for Bell-El every hour of her life, which was what made my guilt so much worse. Guilt compounded on guilt for every awful thing I'd thought about her over the past 3 years. The phone rang. I paused with my fingertips tracing her pillow, noticing the pristine sheets with no feline ball indenting the mattress. Sage hadn't attacked me when I arrived, which made me suspect the cat was either with Elle's father or Greg had taken it when he'd taken Elle.
Hello?
A groggy voice finally came on the line. Thank Christ for landlines and the non-ability to silence them at night.
Mr. Charleston? It's Penn Everett.
Joe Charleston cleared his throat.
What do you need at 5 o'clock in the morning that couldn't wait for normal hours, son?
My heart did a weird flip at the endearment. He was not like I thought he'd be. I despised him almost every day for 3 years. I misjudged him, just like I'd misjudged his daughter. I need all the information you have on Steve Hobson's son, Greg. Any real estate purchases or favorite locations. His voice whipped sharp.
Why? What happened?
I braced myself. Greg has taken your daughter.
What?
I pinched the bridge of my nose, dislodging dried blood and activating bruises. I'd forgotten about my bare feet and bloody face when I'd shoved the security guard into the elevator. I must look fucking awful.
Elle has been taken by the cocksucker Greg Hobson. Her apartment is empty. There are signs of a fight. I need to find her immediately.
Otherwise, who the fuck knows what he'll do to her? Joe barked.
Stay there. I'm coming over.
No, just tell me. The phone went dead. I growled into the empty room. God damn it. More time wasted. More people involved. I had to leave. I'd call him from the road. I wouldn't wait any longer than I had to. Elle was mine. I would bring her home on my own. As planned, my cell phone rang 15 minutes later when Elle's father arrived at his daughter's apartment, only to find me missing.
Where the hell are you?
Driving.
You should be here helping me look for Elle.
My fingers tightened on the wheel. I am helping look for Elle.
By what? Driving in circles?
I didn't bother telling him that Larry had contacts in the NYPD, that he could help me with phone records and credit card statements. I wanted a faster way, hoping Joe could provide, but if he was going to slow me down, then so be it. He'd get left behind. Tell me everything you can about Steve and Greg. Joe sniffed.
Greg lives with his father a few blocks over from me. However, he's not there. I called Steve, and he's as freaked as I am about all of this. He said Greg never came home last night, but that's nothing new. He has girlfriends who he stays with periodically.
I ignored the fact that the slime ball slept around all while trying to get Al into bed. I'd kill him just for that. Any other property? Known addresses he'd go to on his own? My car broke the speed limit as I weaved down Broadway.
Steve bought a log cabin a few years ago, out in Rochester. You said Greg might have...
The address, now.
It's off the beaten track. Look for a creek called Barefoot Rapids. The house is tucked away with a carved lumberjack holding a mailbox at the start of the driveway.
No street name or number?
No. That's what made it appealing. It can't be found easily.
Fucking brilliant. Holding back my curse, I gritted. Thanks. I'll call you when I'm there. I hung up and tossed the phone onto the seat beside me. Rochester was a good 5-hour drive away. Christ, he could do anything to her in that time, and I'd be too late. The Mercedes snarled as I stomped on the pedal, forcing gas to feed its greedy engine. Hold on, Elle. This time, I wouldn't let her down.
Chapter 5. Elle. Sunshine. A new day. No sleep. No rest. Only panic. Greg shifted, his arm still locked around my middle, his skin against mine, his body sickeningly close. Dawn had arrived, and I'd watched every painful minute of it as the sky switched from black to pink, then pink to gold, basking the cabin, glittering on the lake through the windows. It took all my willpower to stay calm and not give in to the panic gnawing at my bones. How many more mornings would pass before I could get free? Greg rolled over. The leash tethering me to him jerked my wrist. My skin was red and irritated from rope burn. I grunted as he forced me to roll over, tucking me against his body.
Morning, beautiful.
I bit my tongue and didn't reply. If I did, I'd spew curses and commands, neither of which would do me any good. I had to hope that if I remained silent and obedient, he'd let me call Dad and ease his worry, so I remained parented and not an orphan. The only good thing about Greg taking me was I didn't have time to stew about Penn and his deception. I only had the brain capacity to currently hate Greg. Penn will come later.
I don't care if you don't speak, Al. I rather like quiet women.
Unraveling the rope from his fist, he stood up and stretched. Morning wood once again speared his boxer briefs. He smirked, catching me looking.
That's all yours the moment you've had a shower.
He bent me over, pressing his hands into the pillow on either side of my ears.
Can't fuck you without washing you first. Who the hell knows if that bastard touched you last night?
I fought the reply plastering itself over my face. Penn had touched me. He'd fucked me in the limo before I knew the truth. I'd believed he felt something for me, while I felt something for him. I was excited, thinking he'd be honest and forthright and all the mistrust and lies would vanish, like mist fading over the lake. I'd begged for clarity, just not the clarity I'd been given. My necklace had ruined those fantasies. Grabbing my hand, Greg pulled me from the worn covers and into the crisp morning air. No heating meant goosebumps scattered over my flesh, then layered me with more as he leered at me.
All this time, and we could have been waking up side by side instead of working on different floors at Bell L.
His fingers traced my belly button.
Isn't it nice?
He leaned forward, brushing his lips against mine. I ripped my face away. Not only because I had a phobia of morning breath, but because he had no right, none, to kiss me. Let me go, Greg. The first words I'd spoken in hours. He grinned.
You mean untie this?
He tugged the twine, making my arm bounce. You know what I mean. Everything. Cut me loose, drive me home. This has gone on long enough. He shook his head.
You're not leaving until you understand your place is by my side.
My place is running Bell L, with you in a prison cell. He chuckled, mirth bright in his green eyes rather than retribution.
You'll change your mind the more you get to know me.
I highly doubt it. Carting me from the bedroom, he guided me into the bathroom and undid the rope around my wrist.
Get in the shower.
I rubbed at my sore skin, backing up against the sink. I'm not washing with you in here.
Oh yes, you fucking are.
He grabbed the edges of his boxer briefs, pulling them down his legs. His cock sprung free, heavy and hard with red veins bulging on the sides. He wasn't as big as Penn, but it looked angry. Before I could move, he grabbed my shoulders and spun me around. With quick fingers, he unhooked my bra. My arms slammed over my chest, covering myself. It didn't do any good. He snatched my arms away, making me teeter, bruising me as he ripped the straps down and tossed the bra into the hallway. He spun me hard to face him.
Now the rest.
Go to hell. I kept my arms over my chest, defending my modesty. His gaze fell to my panties, a heated smirk on his lips.
Are you going to remove those, or shall I?
I backed up. Greg, don't.
Greg, don't.
He mocked with a sneer.
Do you know how many years I've had to listen to you giving orders? Smiling at me over the dinner table with your holier-than-thou bitch face. Giving me commands at work when all I really wanted to do was fuck you.
He loomed over me.
You thought you hid your true feelings, but every time you looked at me, I knew. I saw your disdain. I knew you believed you were better than me.
I slapped him. I didn't think it through. I just did it. We both froze, equally shocked. I hissed. If that's the bullshit you're feeding yourself, then you're completely screwed up. I never looked down on you, Greg. For most of our childhood, I enjoyed playing with you. But then you went and let jealousy corrupt. He grabbed my jaw, squeezing my sentence to a stop.
Jealousy? You think this is about jealousy?
He laughed with utmost frustration.
I'm not jealous of you, Al. I don't envy what you have.
He brushed my lips with his thumb.
I don't care that you're one of the richest women in the world. That doesn't intimidate me. What does intimidate me is some fucking loser thinking he can lie about being engaged to you just to get access to what you have.
I fought in his hold, lashing my fingers around his wrist to get free. That wasn't why he lied. He did it to sleep with me after a 3-year promise in an alley.
Don't care. He's gone now. I merely want to be with you, to share in what you have. Is that so wrong?
His voice lowered.
I don't want to take it away from you, Al. I only want to enjoy it side by side. I'm willing to be a good husband, hard worker, and loyal father to any kids we have. This isn't about me stealing from you. It's about me giving you what you deserve.
I snorted. What I deserve? Do I deserve to be kidnapped and held against my will? Please. He was moronic.
Until you listen to me, yes.
Shoving me away, Greg ripped at my silver and white panties and jerked them down my legs. One arm stayed glued to my chest, and the other darted between my thighs to hide the trimmed curls and smoothness I'd taken to maintaining ever since I met Nameless and became a slave to my libido in an open park. I never wanted to be unprepared for a moment where sex could be a possibility, even when my life had been chained to work with no time for pleasure. Until Penn. My heart threw up and then did an odd pirouette. Part of me was repulsed I'd slept with him, knowing what I knew now, while the shallower, less cohesive part of me couldn't care less. He'd been a crook 3 years ago. Could he have changed? Could he be a good person after being so bad? You're talking gibberish. I blamed it on Greg. I only accepted Penn's lies and who he was hiding because even in that dark alley, with his awful fingers shredding my clothes and stealing my money, he still wasn't as bad as Greg was. Sure, he would have scared me and stolen what he could, but Greg thought he could keep me in a lifetime of servitude, believing we were equals, all while he suffocated me in a marriage I resented, revoked, and wanted to rip to shreds. Grabbing me around the waist, he lifted me over the edge of the tub and held me until my feet gained traction on the slippery bath. Climbing in behind me, I shivered with repulsion as he reached around my nakedness and turned the tap on. I gasped as icy water spewed from the single shower head directly onto my chest. Greg wrapped his arms around me, keeping me under the glacial torrent, breathing hot breath into my ear.
"See how cold you are on your own, Elle? How hard it is to get warm?"
Moving closer, his front pressed against my back, wedging unwanted but much-needed body heat against my back. His cock thickened, pulsing against my lower spine as he cradled me. I hated that he offered shelter from the cold spray, twisting my mind as the protector when he'd been the one to turn on the water in the first place. "Let me go." I reached behind to dig my fingernails into his hip. Shivering hijacked me until my teeth rattled. "Damn it, Greg, stop!" He flinched but only held tighter. Reaching with his left arm, he swiveled the tap to hot, and I waited with goosebumps and trembles as the liquid ice slowly switched to tepid waterfall, to steamy stream, to scalding tempest. I winced as my skin turned lobster red. "Ouch!"
"Whoops, can't have you burning up now, can we?"
He twisted the tap again, finally finding the right hot-to-cold ratio. My flesh no longer tried to turn into an iceberg or melt with magma, but I didn't relax. Not one little bit. Turning me around, he barely noticed my resistance. My feet slipped with no effort on the bath, my body stiff as a sword. When I stood facing him with my arms acting as my underwear, he grinned.
"Back you go."
He pushed until my head vanished under the shower, drenching my long hair. The water offered a reprieve, filling my ears and eyes and senses with cleansing rushes, rather than reveal the tiny bathroom in the cabin with the madman I was currently with. After I was sufficiently drowned, he pulled me forward and opened a bottle of shampoo on the ledge of the bath.
"I'm going to show you how supportive and kind I can be, Elle."
He licked his lips, tipping the synthetic berry bubbles into his palm.
"I'm going to make sure you're squeaky clean, and then we're going to have a chat about our new life together."
I bit my tongue. Words didn't work on him, and I refused to stoop to a level where I begged or pleaded for some rationality. There was no rationality left. I was in a shower naked with Greg while he promised to care for me after I'd promised I'd kill him if my disappearance hurt my father. He either believed in his delusions or was so twisted, he honestly thought I wanted him and was merely playing hard to get. His hands landed on my head, rubbing the unwanted bubbles into my strands, coating me with a foreign smell. I missed my bathroom, and I missed my honeysuckle body wash. I missed Sage and her morning meow and headbutt. I missed my father and his gentle smile. Hell, I even missed Penn even while hating him.
"The silent treatment won't work on me forever, you know."
Greg gathered my wet tresses, plopping them onto my head where he massaged more suds. I refused to enjoy his fussing. My skin crawled, rather than relaxed with the soft pressure. I put my chin in the air, glowering. "We'll see."
"If you're going to be like that, turn around."
He pushed my shoulder, swiveling me in place. I wobbled on the slippery surface, refusing to unlock my arms from protecting my decency to act as balancing rods. His fingers trailed from my hair down my back, spreading more bubbles. My teeth chattered in horror as he hooked his hands under my arms, washing me intimately, cleansing me of my past life for whatever he meant to do to me in this twisted present.
"I can't wait until you're clean, Elle,"
he murmured as his fingers drifted to my ass.
"Once he's washed away, I can replace every memory with me."
I swallowed a moan as his touch pressed into my crack. I spun around, not caring anymore if he saw me naked as one arm swung up to punch him and the other gripped the white-tiled wall for balance. "Don't fucking touch me!" He caught my arm mid-swing, holding me steady. His gaze locked onto my breast, then to my core. A blackness I instantly feared cloaked him, His cock grew harder as he captured my nipple, tugging hard.
Fuck, you're stunning.
Let me go. I tried to fight, but he kept my wrist imprisoned and deliberately pushed me sideways against the wall to keep my other arm pinned.
In another few days, you'll wonder why you fought this, El.
His voice grew husky with desire.
I'll show you how good we can be together. You'll see.
His hand dropped from my breast, trailed down my stomach, and cupped my core. I fought harder, slipping and forcing him to take my weight to keep me standing. He balanced me but never let go where he held between my legs. His fingers remained on the outside, merely a dominating reminder that he believed I was his now and everything about me was his too.
This is the part of you that needs washing the most.
He gathered more bubbles, pressing them into my short curls.
Fucking asshole needs to be deleted.
I tore my eyes from his, glaring at the ceiling while furious tears sprang. He washed me slowly, possessively, with so many threats and promises. I couldn't stop the tears overflowing, mixing with the shower, rolling down my chest. He caught one with his finger, bringing it to his lips.
Don't cry.